Thank you for being on. And I got a couple things I want to cover, and I'll be happy to take questions. First, the turmoil in the financial markets. This is uncharted terrain that we're in on these financial markets. And what you're seeing is capital move globally with the click of a mouse. And what's happening, there are a number of these firms that are dependent upon short-term capital coming into them, and the capital markets are freezing up. I think the Fed and the Treasury is acting appropriately in stepping in aggressively, really unprecedented in the way that they're stepping in to try to stabilize these very fluid capital markets and stabilize the overall situation. It is an extraordinarily difficult point in time. Its genesis goes back to the subprime housing problem. And then the credit crunch that ensued after that that point in time. And now just people are fleeing a number of these investment houses as soon as some sort of rumor comes up on it. I think what we've got to look at into the future is what we can do to keep the economy moving forward. This is a very difficult economic situation we have overall. And what we've got to do is to see what we can do to get more capital into it and to help the economy. I think we need to keep the Fed needs to keep the interest rates low. I would urge it to move them down lower. That helps our exports because it keeps the value of our dollar competitive globally. I also think one of the things we need to do is see ways that we can bring capital back into the United States. One of the things we did previously was lower our tax rates on repatriating dollars to the United States by corporations. That brought in tens of billions of dollars previously, actually made money for the government, and this is something I'm renewing a call to do on our part. And then, two, clearly we've got to deal with our energy situation on a longer-term basis and get more of the energy produced here rather than being produced overseas. A couple of things happening here on Capitol Hill in addition to the financial markets. We're likely to consider a tax extenders bill this week or early next week. The bill contains many provisions for renewable energy, including the extension of production tax credits for wind energy. This is key. Indeed, it's critical to the wind expansion in our state. Kansas should be the wind energy capital of the world. We have got a lot of investment taking place in wind. Much of it is dependent upon these production tax credits. In this extension package, they're going to be extended a year. I'll be working this next year to make a five-year extension package. We need to do this instead of year to year. It needs to be a five-year extension package so that these entities can get more capital into them and we can get more wind energy in Kansas. Included in this bill on the production tax credits for wind energy includes incentives for both residential and commercial. I am concerned that the pay-for area of these extenders is hurting the refining, oil refining industry. And this is at a time when it faces hurricanes and the problems from Ike and also the cost of expansion. We've been pushing the gasoline refining industry to expand. And part of the pay-fors on this is taking some of that incentive away from the refining industry. I don't think that's the place to go, but the overall package is one that I think is important. A couple of other energy points. I met yesterday with a Kansas wind energy group and a number of great companies and groups involved in it. One of the key things in the future for us to be able to exploit the wind energy potential in Kansas are power lines to move the energy to various markets. We need high-capacity power lines to be able to harvest this into those markets. To do that, they're going to have to be constructed, and I think also there needs to be base power generation going along with that, such as expansion of nuclear, coal, gas energy production in Kansas, that those go together. Then you can build the high power lines that will also move your wind energy, moves the base power as well. And I think this is key that we have to expand in both areas, and they fit together. Next week, we're going to consider several energy production bills. I don't know if any are going to be enough to get the 60 votes needed to pass in the Senate. I just want to point out one thing on this. We're looking at several regions offshore, and the dynamics has changed now to where the majority party is willing to consider some drilling in some places. But the places they're willing to consider, the rumor is, because we haven't seen the actual bill, that will only include in the category, I say only, but it's significant, 2 to 3 billion barrels of oil. That's significant. That's an improvement over zero, but it's not near what we have available. And one area that is off is ANWR, the Arctic National Wildlife Reserve. If we were to allow limited drilling in a 2,000-acre area of ANWR, you're looking at the possibility of around a 10 billion barrel recoverable oil, where we're looking at hundreds of thousands of acres, millions of acres, possibly offshore, that would have probably a fifth of that. So keep your eye on the ball, and we need to major on the majors. Where can we go to get the most oil? And I think we need to open up all areas in an environmentally sound fashion to oil production here, so we're not exporting those dollars and we're reducing our price of gasoline. So I just we're going to be putting out some comments, and I'll be talking about that particular issue because it's so key and so important for us. Also looks like we'll wrap up our appropriation business next week. It's hopeful that we're going to get a continuing resolution moving through. I hope it does not have limitations on drilling in the United States or offshore that's in the CR. And as well, I hope it'll have some disaster and economic stimulus package pieces of it as well. In particular for us in Kansas, we're trying to get resources for Kansas State University to help pay for the devastation of the tornado this summer. Also hopeful that we can get funding through the Army Corps of Engineers for several of the flood control projects across the state that were damaged. Finally, on the Air Force tanker update, and this has been such a long-running story. Last week, Department of Defense announced that it would terminate the Air Force tanker competition for this year. Secretary Gates, top Air Force officials determined that solicitation award of a new aerial refueling tanker cannot be accomplished by January, and so they're rolling it over to the next administration. This is good news. What had taken place in the request for proposal was a proposal that favored the Airbus tanker was in the RFP, to the point that if Boeing had competed for it with their smaller tanker project, they in all likelihood would not have won because of the presentation of the RFP. We need to roll this into the next time period. I hope that the Air Force goes back to the drawing board and says what we need is a mid-sized tanker, not a large one. We want to meet what the warfighter needs. We want to be able to handle the situation, not have to build a whole bunch of new hangars or have higher fuel costs than necessary in running this fleet of tankers. And we're going to continue to work very hard on this. I've done 77 of 105 counties now on my 105-county tour. It's going well. I'm having a lot of good input from individuals. We're likely to I don't know how much longer the session will go on, and then I'll be back traveling around the state a great deal.